That ought to be our reason for the things that we do, is not for selfish gain. And do it for the right reasons. And then we'll have God's blessings on our life. I'm going to use the pulpit again tonight. Again, not going to be as mobile. 3 John is where we're at. 3 John. We've wrapped up our study on 1 John. We covered 2 John on Wednesday night. And tonight we're going to cover 3 John again, as we discussed on Wednesday night. 2 and 3 John are really two of the same thoughts as far as the two lines of thinking. 2 John is the shortest book of your Bible in regards to verses. 3 John is the shortest book of the Bible in regards to the words. And so here we have the two shortest books of the Bible that we're looking at. And they're going to reiterate some truths that we saw back in 1 John. And we saw a lot of that on Wednesday night. But they deal with this aspect and this idea of being hospitable. And I was talking to Brother Anthony on Wednesday night. It's interesting to talk about that subject, hospitality. And then in 2 John to deal with the aspect and the fact that sometimes in being hospitable to people, sometimes you just got to turn them away. And it's interesting how that works, but that is the truth of the Word of God and how God's Word lines out in our lives. There's times where we've got to dust our feet off. We've got to shake the dust off our feet, and we've got to move forward for the cause of Christ. And there are those that are going to try to hinder the work of God, and we can't allow them to influence our lives in those areas. One of the things we need to make sure that we remember, we are in control of who we allow to speak into our lives. We are in control of that. You can allow different people to speak into your lives. You can allow different people to influence your lives. Or you can choose to not be a part of that. And so we make those choices every day. We want to use the excuse, well, but their family or their blood. No, don't you know blood's thicker than water? Yeah, it is. But Jesus Christ's blood is too. And if you got Jesus Christ's blood, and if you're a child of God, amen. And if we've been born again in the family of God, we've got righteous blood flowing through our veins. Amen. And so we need to have that understanding in our lives as well. So that argument goes both ways, not just in the flesh and physically, blood is thicker than the water, but also in the spiritual vernacular as well. And your spiritual blood ought to reign supreme as far as things are concerned there. 3 John is where we're going to be at. You should be there now. Go ahead and stand with me. 3 John. We're going to go ahead and read the whole book. It's just 14 verses. Fret not. Some of you can get caught up on your Bible reading, amen. It's just 14 verses. Ain't going to take too long here. Look at verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not write. Oh, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Help us to understand this truth of hospitality, of being genuine in our Christian faith, being cordial, being inviting, being kind and generous in our faith, but also understanding that we need to be tactful in our dealings with people as well. And sometimes we just need to cut off some things, some relationships, because that's going to benefit the Christian walk. It's going to help us spiritually. and not continue to pull us down and hinder us in our walk with you. Teach us these truths tonight. Show us what we can apply to our lives. Help us to follow the examples that are given in your word. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Again, 2 John, 3 John deal with the same truth. That is the truth of hospitality. That is the truth of being cordial and extending yourself. And even at times, sometimes in the ministry, you have to overextend yourself for people. And you strive to be everything you can for the glory of God. You strive to help people as best you can for the glory of God. But understand this, realize this, there are some people that you can't help. There's some people you can't help. And sometimes in our lives, we think that we are helping somebody by doing something for them, when in all actuality, we are enabling them to continue in the sin they're doing. And we've got to draw a fine line to not become an enabler of some wrongdoing. Think about it this way. If you have a kid or you have a family member, you have a friend of yours that is an alcoholic or a drug addict, if you're constantly giving them money and constantly providing different things in their life, what you're doing is you are enabling them to go use and abuse that alcohol and those drugs. You are becoming an enabler in their lives. You may think that you're trying to help them or you're trying to take care of things, and sometimes we even use the excuse, well, I'm doing it for the kids' sake. Well, we become an enabler in those areas many a times because we are providing for them to continue on in their way of living, while there's no actual change that has been taking place in their lives. Are we following along? Does that make sense? And so sometimes when we are trying to be outrageously hospitable, and sometimes when we try to overextend ourselves, sometimes we can cross that line. Instead of being a blessing, because we've been enabling them, we've become a burden to them by trying to be a blessing. And so we've got to understand what that line is and make sure that we don't cross those lines personally and ethically as well. We don't want to enable somebody's bad habits. And I understand people have used the excuse in the past, well, my responsibility is to help meet their need. What they do with it is their business. You know, we've got to use wisdom in that area as well. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on to punish, what your Bible says. And we got to show some prudence. We got to show some wisdom. If somebody keeps doing the same thing the same way all the time, they're going to get the same result. And if we constantly force feed them different things, saying that we're being a blessing to them, in all actuality, we could become a burden to them, and we could be the reason they end up OD in one day. Are you listening? And we've got to make sure that we draw that line in our Christian lives. There's three people that we find here in 3 John that we're going to recognize. We find Gaius, we find Diotrephes, and we find Demetrius. All three of these men deal with the aspect of hospitality in a different way and in a different manner. First, we find Gaius, who is a young man who was rendering hospitality. He was constantly giving hospitality. He was constantly loving the brethren. He was constantly going out of his way to provide for others. So here's a man who was rendering hospitality. Then you have Diotrephes. Here is a man who was refusing hospitality, to the point to where he was stopping people at church. I talked about this last Sunday morning. He was stopping people at church and removing them from the church house. He was refusing hospitality. He was doing everything in his power not to be hospitable, not to be kind, not to be genuine, not to be loving. And then you have a man named Demetrius. He was a man who was supposed to receive hospitality. And we're going to deal with all three of these aspects tonight. So here, notice, first Gaius, a man who was rendering hospitality. We find his account here in the first 8 verses. And in these first 8 verses, we see 4 different aspects here and 4 different things that we recognize. Notice the anxiety with which John writes this. Here, John is the elder. He is the who is being referred to is the elder, and John is the elder. Whom is he writing to? He is writing unto Gaius. Why is he writing? It says, verse 1, whom I love in the truth. He's writing to him because he loves him. He's writing to him because he cares for him. He's writing to him because he has the responsibility of the church upon his shoulders. Okay, so Gaius, he was one who was leading the church. He was one that was trying to be a blessing to others that were there in the house of God. And here John, as an elder statesman, as an elder man of God, he's encouraging this young man of God to do something great for the glory of God. Notice the way in which he encouraged him. He said, whom I love in the truth. Notice he didn't say, I love you with shallow words. He didn't say, I love you with ceremonial or ritualistic things. He says, I love you in the truth, meaning that the way that we are headed is we are headed after the truths of the Word of God. I'm going to love you in the truth, and because I love you in the truth, then I'm also going to give you the truth of the Word of God. And if we love people in the truth, then we're going to love them enough to give them the Word of God and what God says. And by the way, that's how we ought to love everybody. We ought to love everybody enough to give them the truths of the Word of God and share with them what God has shared with us. Sometimes that's going to be a hard truth. Sometimes it's going to be a tough truth to deliver to somebody. But sometimes those hard conversations have to happen. Again, faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And Paul told the church at Galatians, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Proverbs says the kisses of an enemy. He said, I wasn't kissing all over you. I wasn't flattering you with all these words. I wasn't telling you all these things to butter you up. I was giving you the truth. And now you want to turn against me? You want to make me the enemy because I gave you the truth? He said, no. According to Proverbs, I ought to be your friend. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we need to understand that. Notice the wind here in verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Notice, he was expecting this. He was desiring this to happen now in his life. He said, I want you to prosper now. I want you to have everything now. I want you to be in health now. I want your soul to prosper. I want everything to go well in your Christian life. Notice how he says it. Beloved, I wish above all things. He says, more than anything else in life, I want you to be doing well. And by the way, any God-called man of God wants God's people to be doing well. You spend any time talking to Brother Throw, spend any time talking to anybody who's ever pastored, their desire is for God's people to be doing well. Their desire is for God's people to be prospering in their soul. Yes, I understand everybody wants to prosper financially, but you need to be prospering spiritually first. And every God-called man of God, his desire is for God's people to be prospering spiritually. He says, even as thy soul prospereth. And then notice what he says here. There's some approval with which he writes. Notice verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Notice he was being praised because of truth. Others were speaking highly of Gaius because his life was a life of truth. Notice what it says. The brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Think about this. I'm about to sit down for a moment. I apologize. Think about this. When was the last time somebody bragged on you because you were a person of truth? Think about that. When's the last time somebody spoke highly of you because you were a person of honor and truth? They knew that you weren't going to sugarcoat things when they came to you. They knew that you were going to give them the truth because you loved them enough to care about them. When was the last time somebody spoke highly of us because of that? When somebody was talking, and then your name comes up. They say, yeah, I'd recommend you go talk to him, but let me go ahead and tell you. He's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. That ought to be the testimony of every child of God. Listen, we're not in this. The Bible says we are the salt of the earth. Sometimes you got to be salty. You know what salt does? When you put salt in a wound, it burns. Sometimes it stings. And sometimes when we're put into this world, sometimes your life is going to be stinging to others. Because the harsh reality is we've got to present and project Jesus Christ in everything we do. Here, John said, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. He said, I didn't have to ask them. I don't find anywhere where he was asking them. They came and willingly testified of the truth that was in Gaius' life. Now, Gaius is somebody we don't talk about enough in the Bible. Gaius is a young man who lived a life of truth. And here he served God in truth. So here we have the praise of truth. But notice also, we have the progression of truth. He says, they testify to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. So here he says, they're praising you because of the truth that's in you, but they're also praising you because they know that you're not leaving the truth. You're continually walking in the way that you have taught them. It was one of those, don't do as I do, Brother Zach. He's saying, don't do as I say, but do as I do. I had that backwards. Don't just do as I say, but do as I do. That was that Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And here, he had not just the praise of truth, but he had the progression of truth. He lived a life of truth. He was constantly walking in truth. And then notice verses 5 and 6, what we see in verse 4, I have no greater joy than hearing my children walk in truth. That would have blessed John's heart as an older man of God. You know what's encouraging? Is when people see the investment that they made not go to waste. That's what's encouraging. You know what's discouraging? When you realize you wasted 15 years of your life investing in somebody who threw it all away. That's what's discouraging. And we see that way too much in the ministry today. Where people have been invested in, people have sacrificed for, people have done everything they can to provide and make sure that they were on the right track. And here John says, man, I have no greater joy than to hear that you're still walking in truth. He said, that blesses my heart as an older man. I'm sure there's different stories. You spend any time talking to a man of God that's been in the ministry for any length of time. Take Brother Throw, for instance. We're going to have Dr. Miller here later this year. Both of them have been in the ministry for well over 40 years. You spend any time talking to them, they're not going to tell you about all the times that they spent years and years investing in somebody and they didn't turn out for God. You know what they're going to brag on? They're going to brag on the people they've invested in that are still faithful. Why? Because that's something that brings some holy pride. Now, you don't hear those two words together often, do you? Like godly jealousy. Paul said it in Corinthians, didn't he? I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. You know what holy pride is? Knowing that you've done right and it shows in somebody else's life. That would be holy pride. I'm not talking about pride and arrogance of, oh, look at me and look at who's in the ministry because of me. No, it's, I can look at them and I know my labor's not in vain. I can look at them and know every bit of it's been worth it. That's the right kind of mentality. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Young people, listen to me tonight. One of the things that'll bless your parents' heart is to know that as soon as you get out of the house, that you're still faithful to the things of God. One of the most heartbreaking things I've seen time and time again in churches, somebody be raised in church from the time they were an infant, somebody be going through a Christian school from the time they could go to school, and as soon as they walk across the platform and they leave, they never darken a door of a church again. You know what they were doing? They were fulfilling the wishes of parents, but they never made God their God. They never made God their God. And many times, what that does, Brother Anthony, it leaves the parents wondering, where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? We invested all of this. We did all of this. What did we do wrong? Here, John didn't have that problem with Gaius. Now, he may have had that problem with others. We know that Paul had that problem with Demas, did he not? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Paul could tell you about all the others that he invested in that were still faithful to the things of God. But he was always constantly reminded that Demas was there. And there was so much potential, and it got wasted. You see, sometimes the haunting reality is when you look back and you see the things that could have been, and sometimes the failures in life, those come back to haunt us more than anything else. Are you listening? Here, John was able to say of Gaius, I rejoice greatly in you. Why? Because I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in truth. He says, nothing better to hear than to know that you're still going to be faithful to God, regardless of if you ever see me again. You see, it's one thing to stay faithful to God when your leaders are there making sure you're where you're supposed to be. It's another thing to stay faithful to God because you chose to. We got to get back to the point to where we are serving God because we made God our God. Here we see the progression of truth, but verses 5 and 6 we see finally the potential of truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Here we see the potential for truth. He has faithful works for everybody, but is also a faithful witness to everybody. Notice, he says, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. What a testimony. Think about that testimony. He's literally saying everything you put your hand to, you are being faithful for the cause of Christ. Both to the brethren and to people who are lost. You know what that is? That's a life of consistency. That's a life of consistency. Again, I've shared this verse time and again, Proverbs 11:1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Why is it so often we want to do good to those that have done good to us? Jesus Christ warned against that in the Sermon on the Mount, did He not? He said, the world does that. We ought to go a step above that. We ought to be a second mile Christian. When somebody asks us to go to a mile, we ought to go with them twain. Somebody asks us for our coat, we ought to give them our cloak also. We ought to do everything we can to be a blessing and a help to somebody. Here, this is the approval. And by the way, if you live a life for truth, then the potential for your life is unlimited. Unlimited. Because if you stay faithful to God, the things that you think you can do for God, God has so much more for you. Look, I can look back on my life and I can see all the different things that God has worked out. Because, you know, hindsight's 20/20, right? You can look back and see different things after the fact. I can look back and see in my life where if I would have made one wrong decision in that area, things would be completely different today. But I can also see how I thought it was going to be this way when I was younger, but as I've stayed faithful to God, God's done so much more than I could have ever imagined. Why? Because the potential with God is limitless. It's unlimited. God can do so much if we would just let go and let God. Trust Him to provide. Trust Him to do. Faithful in our works for all, but also faithful in our witness. Notice verse 6 what he said. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Here, Gaius wasn't somebody who was giving so that others could see it. That's not what this is referring to. When it's talking about the charity before the church, that means he was an example for others to follow, not that he was giving so that others could see how good he was. Because there's a difference. There are those who give just to be seen of man. And then there are those who will give consistently as an example for others to follow. And here, this is what Gaius was. He had borne witness on how to give, how to sacrifice. This is not just monetarily. This is in every area of the Christian life. We give our lives to the Lord. We give every aspect. Our charity before the church. By the way, the word charity, another word for the word charity is love. And if you love something, you'll give to it. You say, where's that at in the Bible? The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say, I just don't feel like my heart's in the church. Well, start giving the church, your heart will be there. It's that simple. My heart's just not with my wife anymore. I'm loving someone else. Well, if you start giving to your wife more, then your heart will be with her more. Amen. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart follows your treasure. That's a Bible truth people don't talk about anymore. Jesus said that. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You say, I feel like I'm getting a little cold to certain things. Well, just ramp up your giving in that area. And the coldness will go away. Your heart will get back into it. You think you're getting cold in your marriage? Ramp up your giving in your marriage. Amen. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You think your love is getting cold towards your children? Ramp up your giving towards your children. It's there. It's what the Bible says. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here, we see the potential for the truth. His charity was before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Notice, here we see an appeal that is made as well. We saw his anxiety or the anxiousness with which he wrote, the approval with which he wrote. Now the appeal that he has. Notice at the end of verse 6, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Here, he was asking Gaius to continue the support of the missionaries. He said, where do you get that at? Well, if you read verse 6, they're on a journey after a godly sort. Verse 7 says, because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. What does that remind you of? For me, that reminds me of when Paul went to the Macedonian churches and he says, I didn't want to receive anything from them, but they gave anyway. What was he doing? He was being a missionary. He was going trying to fulfill God's will for his life. You see missions even here in 3 John. This is for the support of the missionaries. Here, they had brought in those that were doing the work of God. Why? So they can continue to be involved in the witness for God. This was the appeal. Continue supporting missionaries. Continue reaching out to those who are reaching out to others. But also in verse 7, notice for sake of the master. It says, because that for his name's sake they went forth. In your Bible, we often read, and I don't know if they did it there at the funeral, but often Psalms 23 is a graveside passage that is read. There in verse number 3, it says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. There's a phrase, for his name's sake. Everything that God does in your life is to glorify his name. Therefore, everything that we do for God ought not lift us up, it ought to lift up Christ. Are you listening? That's what it says here. That for his name's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. They weren't going out trying to make a name for themselves. They weren't going out trying to build a ministry. Brother Anthony, they didn't name their ministry after themselves. Amen. There's a lot of guys out there today naming ministries after themselves, making it all about them and not about Jesus Christ. Here, that for his name's sake, they went forth. This is for sake of the master. Everything that we do in this Christian life, this is the appeal. Everything we do in the Christian life ought to be for sake of the Master. Everything that you do in your life ought to be to promote Jesus Christ. By the way, remember, Jesus Christ said of John the Baptist, of woman there was born no greater man than him. But what was his testimony? He must increase. I must decrease. I believe that's why God said that about him. Because John the Baptist lived his life pointing others to Christ. He wasn't worried about a paycheck. As a matter of fact, as long as he had a cloak and some honey and wild locusts, he was good. Amen. You say he was eating bugs and honey? Absolutely he was. He was a wild man preaching the glory of God. Finger licking good, that's right. He was doing everything he could to promote Jesus Christ. By the way, they couldn't tie him up into a denomination. They couldn't tie him up into a ministerial alliance. He didn't fit into a box anywhere. He was just going to preach Jesus Christ. And by the way, that ought to be the appeal for the sake of the Master. To the point to where, when he saw Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Everybody knew who he was talking about. Because the message never changed. He was consistent in that. And that ought to be our testimony. Here, Gaius' testimony was one of consistency. Man, would to God we had some Christians that would determine to be consistent in their Christian lives. Man. There's an old Patch song. I think it's a Patch song. Pretty sure it's a Patch song. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful, I want to be true. I want to be faithful in all that I do. I want to be faithful in every test. I want to be faithful, I'll give you my best. That's the truth. May that be our testimony. Above anything else, God, I want to be faithful. God, I may not be much. God, I may not have much to offer, but God, I want to be faithful. The Bible says in Proverbs, I believe it's probably of about five different verses, it would be in a handful of them that are some of the saddest phrases in the Bible. And in Proverbs it says, a faithful man who can find. You know, Brother Brad, faithfulness is missing today. Consistency is missing today. This is the reality. Somebody's Life 360 just went off. That's twice in 3 weeks. I haven't moved. Man, brutal. What was I talking about? Faithfulness. A faithful man who can find. One of the most fearful things, Brother Nick, right now is there's a generation of young people today who are being raised who will never know what faithfulness is because they don't see it patterned in front of them. Faithfulness. I'm talking in every aspect. Faithfulness in marriage. Faithfulness in ministry. Faithfulness in our money and our finance. Faithfulness in everything we do. Faithfulness. This is the appeal. By the way, it's not for us. It's for sake of the Master. For His name's sake. And when we get that right in our Christian life, Brother Anthony, we won't have a problem staying faithful to God. We recognize it's not about us, it's all about Him. And then we realize there's a name that I bear that's greater than mine. And I don't want to bring a reproach to His name. That'll cause us to be faithful. And then we see the advice given in verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. We ought to receive workers in the truth. Why? So that we can raise more workers for the truth. Why is it we want to bring missionaries in and take on more missionaries for the cause of Christ? Because we want our young people to be able to rub shoulders with great men of God so that they can have a desire and a burden to do something great for God themselves. Why is it we're constantly bringing in different men of God for revivals and meetings? We want our young people to be able to rub shoulders with them. Why? So they can desire the great gifts, the great things for God. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I want to receive workers, but we want to raise some workers for the glory of God. You see, God doesn't want to just use Cornerstone Baptist Church to take on missionaries all around the world. One day, God wants to use Cornerstone Baptist Church to send out missionaries as well. You realize that? God can use our church for absolutely anything. And one day, I believe God will do that. Here we have a man who was rendering hospitality, lived a life of it. But then now, notice the man who refused hospitality, Diotrephes. He refused it in verse 9 with his personal ambitions. It says, he loveth to have the preeminence among them and receiveth us not. Notice this. Preeminent fellows cause prevented fellowship. Preeminent fellows cause prevented fellowship. You see, when somebody has to have it all about them, it's going to prevent fellowshipping with others. You ever been around people that when you try to tell a story to them, they begin to emulate you and one-up you and, oh yeah, well, I did this. And the story automatically becomes about them. You laughing at my big words? You ever been around somebody like that? Where it's always about them. The tide always gets turned. You try to share a blessing with them and they try to outdo your blessing. Right? You know what that causes? That causes a little bit of an attitude of, man, I don't want to talk to them. Why? Because it's always about them. Preeminent fellows cause prevented fellowship. It's all about them. They got to preeminent. They've got to have the first place. They've got to have the limelight. If there's a spotlight, they've got to be in the middle of it. It's got to be all about them. This is how Diotrephes was. And because his ego was so big, nobody else could come around. You know why? Because his ego took up all the room. His ego, his big-headedness, took all the air out of the room. And nobody else could be in there. You know, there's been times, Brother Throw and I have talked about this on several occasions, there have been times where we've met different preachers that have had big enough egos and nobody else could stand around them and near them anywhere. It became all about them rather than all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here, what were they? They were idiotrophies. They were preeminent. Paul told us in Colossians 1 that in all things Christ might have the preeminence. There's only two times in your Bible where you see preeminence. It's in reference to Christ in Colossians, and it's in reference to Diotrephes here in 3 John. It's only two times. So the reality is, who's going to have first place in your life? Is it going to be God or you? No man can serve two masters. Isn't that what Jesus said? For either he will hate the one and love the other. He will hold to the one and despise the other. Brother Anthony, that was his life verse growing up, amen. Mom and dad were both named Master. Can't serve both of you. You got to choose. It didn't work then. He'll hold to the one. He'll despise the other. Yeah, you can't have time for your pet sin and serving God together. It's not going to happen. This is a man who refused hospitality. He had personal ambitions, but also he had perverted actions. Notice verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious word, not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Here, he was perverted in his words. He was slanderous. He was spiteful. This was all against the man of God, because he had to have his way. But also, he was perverted in his works. By the way, perversion is not always a sensual thing. Perversion means crooked. Not straight. Crooked. So he went against everything that the man of God was trying to do in the house of God. You ever met people like that? Anytime somebody wanted to progress and, well, we're going to do a building project and God's going to do this and we're going to raise the funds for this. Well, I don't ever think that's going to happen. I think this preacher's trying too hard. I think he's raising too much money. I don't think we can do that. There's people like that in the church. They always got something negative to say. Yeah. There's people that are like that. You know what they are? They're thorns in the side. I was talking to Brother Shiflett. We were at lunch Friday with the missionaries. He was sharing with us a story about when he first got to Calvary there in Dundalk. And he was talking about how the old pastor had left and there was a group of men that were trying to oust him out of the pastorate. And so he immediately addressed it. He's like, well, this thing isn't going to fester. We're going to deal with this. And he showed up and he dealt with some different things, recorded the whole session, this and that. He was telling us about this one guy that said that, I don't believe you as pastor, I don't believe you have a shepherd's heart. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, the old pastor, he'd show up at my house in his pajamas at 11 o'clock at night and he would try to plead with me there on my front porch. Brother Shiflett, y'all know him and his preaching. He looked at me and said, oh, so you kept him up at night too. He wanted, what was he saying with his actions? He was saying he wanted the attention. He was saying he wanted somebody to come and cater to him on every little thing. You see, what had happened is he had caused an issue in the church with the old pastor, and the old pastor couldn't sleep that night, and he had to go and get things right with that man. And he was begging him to get things right, and the man refused to. By the way, that's the rest of the story there. Here, Diotrephes was perverted in his words. He was slanderous. He was spiteful. But also he was perverted in his works. He rejected the brethren, but he also removed the brethren from the church house. Then lastly, we have Demetrius. We have a man who was to receive hospitality. Here we see in verse 11, the transition between Diotrephes and Demetrius. John says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. We find a man that we ought to model. Imitate good and imitate God. In your life, Find those that are serving God and try to be like them. You find godly people, you get around godly people, and you let their lives rub off on your life, and you watch what God does to change you. I shared that with Sunday school class this morning. As a young person, I didn't always do right. But I knew if I got around people that were doing right, that would rub off on me and would help me to stay right. Why? Because birds of a feather flock together. You are, or you will soon become, who you hang out with. Here we see a man that we ought to model. Also in verse 12, a man that we ought to measure. Demetrius had a good report of all men and of the truth itself. Here he had a good report of from the world. This is what the world had to say about him. And then he had a good report of the Word of God, what the truth had to say about him. And then it says, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. And then here we see what witnesses had to say about him. Demetrius was a man who served God faithfully, and others rejoiced with him. And then verses 13 and 14, we see that he was a man John was longing to meet. He desired to meet him face to face in verse 13, but also in verse 14, he desired to meet him friend to friend. Here he was saying that we ought to greet friends peacefully. Peace be unto thee. We ought to greet them passionately. Our friends salute thee. And we ought to greet them personally. Greet the friends by name. Here, when you find people in your life that are exhibiting truth, listen up here. When you find people in your life that are exhibiting truth and have shown you a good example to follow, let them know you're thankful for that. You say, well, they know. Maybe they need to be reminded. You know what that does? That's a shot in the arm. That's a boost for them to continue going the extra mile, knowing they made an impact in your life, and they're going to continue to try to make an impact in somebody else's life. Again, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Every year, up until my youth director passed away, Brother Joe Tarr, every year on the anniversary of the day I got saved, I'd call him and I'd talk to him. And I would thank him for taking the time to invest in me. He led me to the Lord. You say, why'd you do that? Was it to praise him? No, it was to encourage him. And there were several times I got a letter in my office on my wall from him. There were several times where he had told me, he said, thank you for staying faithful. I said, Brother Tarr, no, thank you for staying faithful. It was because of your faithfulness, it gave me something to follow. Because sometimes we all need a Jesus in the flesh. Sometimes we need an example. Sometimes we need people to show us how to do it the right way. Stand with me with heads bowed, with eyes closed. Living a life of hospitality, ready to serve God. Here we've got some truths we ought to apply to our lives. Three people to follow: Gaius, Diotrephes, or Demetrius. The question is, which one are we going to follow? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the Word of God. Help